Okay, good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. And you may have all heard the news that Karen Kingston is okay. So she started out the trip with saying she's worried about the safety of her son and she had a 50-50 chance of being poisoned. I think that was August 6th, so the 21st. 2 weeks later, she basically says, "Never mind. I called my son. I'd lost track of time." And of course, the 2 weeks in between time, there was a massive amount of fundraising that occurred. And we saw these two mass formation psychosis videos, one around the idea of poisoning with Hillary Clinton's armed diplomatic security services. She says it right in her own Substack, by the way, not, and she said in her own video that she was with armed diplomatic security services in Mexico. And then the other is, of course, the Gavin Davies, who makes this malaria video and mom get to a doctor video. So, how did we react, first of all? How did our research community react? And what did we learn from the saga? And what metadata did we extract from the saga? And how did the ball move forward rather than wasting a month of hand-wringing and worrying, and really not moving the agenda forward as far as research is concerned? And I think most of the world, unfortunately, did that. They just worried about Karen Kingston for the 2.5 weeks she was there and didn't get anything done. But we didn't do that. We took the information and we moved the ball forward. And I think we made an incredible strides, actually, in exposing the dark hand, exposing the deep state, because the second video, the Gavin video, Gavin Davies video, not to talk about the grandson at all, but of course we exposed the father-in-law, Gavin Davies, who was the key person running two massive false flags, massive false narrative, massive mass formation psychosis operations. One with the whole idea of anthrax, with the shaking the white vial. And then the second one being the incubator baby girl. If you haven't seen the incubator baby girl, it's probably the best example ever. Although Karen Kingston's I Know I Look Terrible video is now right up there with the incubator baby girl. We look back at incubator baby girl video now and we laugh because it was fake. But now the Karen Kingston I Know I Look Terrible video is right up there. These are this isn't the top 10 videos of mass formation psychosis. This is in the top one or two videos now. So we've witnessed a hallmark in history with mass formation psychosis, especially using heartstrings of males who naturally want to protect females to try to get them to, you know. I was invited to do a rescue, and I was supposed to leave yesterday to go to Cancun. I think I was walking into a slaughter pen, to be honest, of armed diplomatic security services, and I'm not so sure that it wasn't an assassination attempt, or lure or trap. But anyway, the bottom line here is Emily Raney, up to this point, was number two on that list. Emily Raney was for psychological operations for January 6th, trying to bring people bus after busload to encourage them to come to Washington, D.C., to come to January 6th to entrap them into a psychological operation there. No, now no one will remember Emily Raney anymore. Her baseball hat speech saying, "Please, please come to Washington, say, you know, please, Patriots, please, Warriors. Please come to Washington to save our Constitution." That you'll never remember that anymore. I Know I Look Terrible is now number two on the list. And I'm not sure I Know I Look Terrible isn't threatening Incubator Baby Girl because it's more recent, number one, and it's more relevant, number two. But the beautiful part about it is we extracted the metadata, we unlocked the person, the key person at the BBC behind Shake the White Vial, behind Incubator Baby. And it unlocks the cabal of anthrax and the cabal of Dynport taking over the American effort to come up with an anthrax vaccine. And that speaks directly to the characters of Anthrax 911. Of course, those same characters go on to Anthrax or Corona 911. And those are the most likely characters, if they were a part of that program over 20 years, those are the most likely characters of influenza 911 or Spanish flu 2000 or 1918 modification 111. I mean, these are going to be the same people that run the next one. So we had a chance to throw a tremendous amount of floodlight on the group, which was tremendously fortunate. The other thing we were able to do is I was able to republish some old books that said that they were going to run a Mosquito Coast operation. If you remember, the Mosquito Coast operation was called the Venezuela op in the book. The Mosquito Coast operation was a little island off the Venezuelan coast called Bonaire. It was going to be a mosquito-based vectored operation in southern states in the United States, most likely Florida and Texas. But there's a whole bunch of elections happening in between Florida and Texas. Specifically this year in November, happening in Louisiana and Mississippi, that are immediate targets. Of course, Mike Lindell just had a meeting in Springfield, Missouri. He talked about a new technology to ensure voting veracity at the polling stations. I'm not sure I quite understand it all, but I know it's going to first be tested in Louisiana and Mississippi. So we know, again, she mentioned Karen Kingston still may be in Mexico. We know that they're coming back, Armed Diplomatic Security Services coming back. We don't know their itinerary. We just know that she's had the most 30 interesting days of her life. Well, that's interesting because if you track back 30 days, that's the day that I started discussions with Karen about with Reiner Fomisch to talk about the Pfizer org chart, to talk about the background of the Pfizer org chart. Now, she, in those discussions, learned that I knew a lot more about Pfizer, and I worked with Pfizer all the way back to Ian Reed running the company and being ousted from the company to put Borla in. And I think that's, I'm not saying I triggered a psychotic event, but I think that someone knew the background of Ian Reed being ousted from a Okonis Lure type event somehow triggered something inside of Karen Kingston, because I believe that Gavin Davies did not know anyone knew that. Gavin Davies has wanted a major American pharmaceutical ever since he was involved in a company called Genzyme. This is the grandfather that runs the BBC, but he has had a lifetime involved in bioagents going back to his days in Rhodesia in 1975, whether he's actually changed his name from a Rhodesian name to an English name remains to be seen. Some people say he's an inheritor of the De Beers fortune. But let's just say he's a Great Expectations story. Let's just say he's a pip from pipsqueak, as Dickens would say, from Rhodesia, going to London, going to Imperial College, going to all the places that specialize in the bioweapons for the Queen, to just say it in a shorthanded way, and then become masters of the dark arts, and then become this sort of Rasputin to seven or eight different prime ministers between 1976 and 2001. Let's just say that it's a pip story. Okay, well, great. We have a tremendous amount of information there, because Kissinger, right, needed when Nixon stopped doing offensive biological weapons, Kissinger had a knee-jerk need to move the biological weapon development to England as the first waypoint or the first resource or the first refuge for moving stuff out of Fort Detrick. And they moved most of it to Port Nunn, including the anthrax development that was such an important part of the bio blitzkrieg warfare that was being conducted in Rhodesia at that time. Rhodesia and the bio blitzkrieg methodology never would have been perfected if it hadn't been moved from Fort Detrick to Port Nunn. So that I think that's a really important thing. But more importantly, I think that's the virus side, or the bacteria side, the pathogen side. But more importantly is the super soldier program that came out of it. And I haven't spent as much time on the corollary super soldier program, but that's another thing that Rumsfeld put in with Ronald Reagan. The fact that our athletes are all, I remember going through this because I was trying to make the Olympic team. I didn't make the, well, Carter killed the Olympic team, killed the Olympics in 1980. And I thought about Los Angeles in 84, and I briefly entertained thoughts about it. I obviously didn't make it, but I do remember the establishment of the training center in Colorado Springs. And Reagan was going to bring all the athletes together, and they were going to have organization for the first time. We were going to have military oversight. And this was the beginnings also of the World Military Games as well. And this was going to become the new place for the bio agents to play themselves out right from the very beginning with Rumsfeld in Colorado Springs in 84. And of course, the first thing that came out of that was epoetin, which is a key material in your body that when you become anemic, when you don't have enough red blood cells in your body, these little receptors that are in the cortex of your kidney, these little sensor cells say, hey, we need more EPO. So it's just like if Lance Armstrong made a cereal commercial. Hey, Lance, we need more EPO. You could easily see Lance Armstrong being the spokesman for a new cereal called EPO. You could even see the kidney medulla there. You could even see the sensor cells, EPO sensor cells on the front of the box. You could see Lance Armstrong doing this easily. And you could see little kids telling their mom, shaking the box when it's empty, Mom, we need more EPO. Epoetin was the key thing that creates more red blood cells. And the ability to perform when normally you would be completely maxed out is the key. That's why in the Tour de France, Greg LeMond before him, by the way, and I don't want to taint Greg's great career, but just saying, wink, wink, that you hit the wall, they call it, in the Alp section, the last 6 days of the Tour de France. That's always where the differentiation occurred with this EPO doping. And this became the stock and trade with this company called Genzyme that the father-in-law of Karen Kingston got into, which was Gavin Davies. And Genzyme became the first genetic company to make the enzyme to allow artificial EPO to be created. So much so that after the fall of the Soviet Union, it was being sold to the Soviet Union by Gavin Davies in a sting in the mid-90s in Boston with Bob Mueller's Boston FBI branch, and Peter Strzok was just starting out at that time. That was basically the first sting operation that they did was with Gavin Davies. That's how long this association across the pond here has been. And it started out very small with just Bob Mueller's Boston branch of the FBI, along with a very young Peter Strzok. And of course, the elder Peter Strzok, but he lives, of course, down by Emily Rainey in Pinehurst, loading the buses. Can you see him pushing the people on the buses to get them to go to Washington, D.C. on January 6th? So that Genzyme becomes incredibly important because it's a small company, right? It's a small company doing a very specific thing, right? That's an enzyme to make epoetin, okay? But the company has, if you're trying to become a super soldier company, if you have ambitions beyond just being providing Lance Armstrong a way of winning Tour de France, you're also providing stuff for the special forces, for the 10th Mountain Division, for instance, and the various 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. You're providing things to people at Fort Bragg for the 82nd Airborne Division. These Navy SEALs bases in down by where Karen Kingston is, in San Diego, near Coronado Island, where the SEALs are, over in Little Creek in North Carolina, where the SEALs are. These are the places that test, that are going to be the test grounds for the next generation of these super soldier drugs. And by the same token, when you learn about the three main sections of the epoetin genes, you learn about places in the EPO genome that you can perturb the genome to turn down your enemy's ability to denigrate your enemy's ability to generate EPO. So what I'm saying is the warfare here is moving away from just a dumb anthrax and military tactics now to something quite sophisticated, now to something understanding the actual medical pathways. And this is something that I always was amazed. This is why I had such respect for Karen Kingston when she would go on Stu Peters. You have people going on Stu Peters saying it's cobra venom and died suddenly and a lot of wacky, quacky things. But Karen Kingston always impressed me when she went on Stu Peters because she was always very specific about the pathways. She was always talking about very rare diseases. The reason why you track rare diseases when you're doing pathways is because they tell you out of, let's say epoetin has its three main gene sections, 150 base pairs, 150 base pairs, 300 base pairs. Well, you have to figure out of those 600 base pairs, which one's the switch that I flip? Which one's the switch that I flip to make somebody Lance Armstrong? And which one's the switch that I flip to make him a Pip? Gladys Knight and the Pips, actually, they were pretty athletic. So I have to figure somebody who's pretty pusillanimous. But which is the switch to flip out of 600 switches? Or do I flip multiple switches? The rare disorders like Fabry's disease, different, but that Genzyme also made the enzyme for Fabry's disease, is a good example where a rare genetic disorder will tell you exactly which switch to flip. A rare genetic disorder pinpoints for you. Takes all the guesswork, takes centuries of testing and hypothesis out of your equation and immediately tells you exactly what switch needs to be flipped. Now all I need to do is figure out what the genetic sequence is and insert that into E. coli, give it the old T7 signal, give it the T7 signal so E. coli will make it and make the foreign protein. Right? And off to the races I go, literally. Off to the Tour de France I go. So that's the other important part here is Karen also showed tremendous knowledge of very corner, extremely rare Fabry's disease, extremely rare. And the Fabry case, the Fabrazyme case at Genzyme is even more arcane, even more eclectic as far as legal knowledge. Very few lawyers, even the Brett Weinsteins of the world, doing intellectual capital for the drug business. Very few people are very aware of the Fabrazyme case, but Karen Kingston would wax hours on Fabrazyme, an immediate telltale to the connection to Gavin Davies. Now she may come back and try to deny it now. But Karen also would talk very knowledgeably about the cardiovascular business of either Pfizer or Pfizer contractors. And she'd also talk very knowledgeably, not just about the Viagra. She did Viagra for a while, but I think that was a distraction. She'd also did quite a bit in the cancer realm at Pfizer. And these are two other areas. It seems quite obvious now looking back, but these are two other areas that the super soldier program naturally migrated to. If you could have a spike protein or a foreign protein attach to your enemy's heart and then have your own enemy's macrophages, your own enemy's immune system, come and eat the fat tissue, the adipose tissue around the heart, and then cause scarring, you constrict the ability of you is you restrict the flow. They call it the ejection fraction. You restrict the flow of your enemy's heart. And you can do this over a period of time. So you can expose the enemy again and again and again, like a series of booster shots, to a series and waves of attachment to the foreign protein, the macrophages eating the heart, and then the scarring. Isn't that kind of what it sounds like happened with myocarditis? Isn't that kind of what seems to be happening with this new fifth round, this new fifth booster? Rand Paul just had Steven Bansal, the guy of Sanofi who built the Wuhan lab, in front. Why didn't Rand Paul ask any questions about the Wuhan lab? But anyway, but he did ask about should we have another booster for all these 16-year-olds? And even though we know that every time they get a booster shot, their risk of myocarditis goes up. But it's interesting, isn't it, how the same thing that Genzyme, the same pathway and stepping stones of the Genzyme corporate history follows and tracks 20 years later, 25 years later, the side effects of the Pfizer vaccine. And the third area that she talked knowledgeably about, quite knowledgeably actually, is cancer. Now, it could be you're saying, well, you know, she had a portfolio of the cancer drugs with Pfizer, and the drug reps have to learn, you know, their competitors, and they have to be able to say what their drug does that the other one doesn't, and so forth. And that's why she became so good at those talking points. But she's also equally conversant when you're starting to talk about the cancer drugs, right? And look at what happened again with all the shots and with the viruses. Again, it seems like there's some kind of disturbance or perturbance of either the GP41 protein that ended up blocking the P53 cancer suppressor, or a whole bunch of other pathways that could have been lit up. I can't remember if I ever heard or talk about something called the JAK-STAT pathway, or the JAK-STAT pathways, or what they call the SARC pathways. But I seem to remember her talking about that. She also talked about Sonic Hedgehog, which is another key protein in the JAK-STAT pathway. Now that's real specific. That is real specific. I mean, not a lot of people know that Sonic Hedgehog's not just a cartoon. There's very few people that know Sonic Hedgehog's actually a gene involved in the JAK-STAT pathway and in the cancer tumor pathways. That's incredibly detailed knowledge. Now, it could be that she's just, you know, a very knowledgeable commentator, and none of the knowledge she gained while inside the key therapeutic areas and the key cancer areas at Pfizer were informing her appearances on Stu Peters. Or the darker angels of our nature would say, well, if I was Gavin Davies, I would put my daughter-in-law in there and I'd find out as much as I could if I was trying to take down Pfizer so that I could basically engineer a series of catastrophes so that the company could be picked up for pennies on the dollar. And again, I don't need Kara Davies to be a part of it. I have my son who's married to her. All I need is the information inside the company. All I need to know is where is Ian Reed this weekend and what boat is he on? That's where all I need to know. And that's where I send my Okonis lures. And then I go into what they call the therapeutic areas. And now this is at the time when I was still dealing with Pfizer. Their therapeutic areas are the TA heads, they call them. That's the individual drugs. And that's how you know. I mean, it's sort of like a fiefdom. The guy who runs Lipitor or Celebrex, let's say, a Pfizer drug, he runs the whole story, right? He or she runs the whole story. You get to know the TA head. You basically can sell anything you want. They buy their own equipment. There's some standardization that they try. They say, here's the recommended things. But they all do all the hiring of the scientists. They do all the approvals, etc. Again, they have to work with legal and so forth. But you, all you would need to do is have one person on the inside to basically know where the TA heads and Ian Reed were going to be that week in Long Island and what boat they were going to be on. Now, if I'm trying to steal all the intellectual property, right, I show up with a lot of Okonis lures. I'm not saying this is the Peter Strzok Russian Okonis lures, but they were not far with Carter Page and so forth, with the covey of Okonis lures down with this FBI or KGB guy named Pod Opny was the guy. And I left New York before the whole illegals campaign, but you've seen the Anna Chapman and you've seen all the Russian Okonis lures that were based in New York, and Carter Page kind of was one of the guys at NYU that was kind of keeping a covey. But all I need to know, as I said before, is where is Ian going to be on the yacht this weekend and where the TA heads are going to be, and just get in that club. Just get in that club and learn the insiders and then put these people into as executive assistants into those key areas. In 2 or 3 years, I'm going to know everything there is to know, especially if you give the gals like Julie Swednick, I remember, they trained her up in all the Microsoft products, right? She's went way beyond that and became a really great programmer. But they initially, when they were going to put her in as an executive assistant, they trained her up on all the Microsoft products. And now, hey, here's your executive assistant. She comes right from the recommended office pool at Pfizer. Now I have records going in all directions for the highest level of approval from the FDA with the molecules all delineated and all the side effects delineated. I've got all the juice. It only starts with putting one person into Pfizer. And I know from firsthand knowledge that this was a very strong concern of Pfizer. If you look at how Ian Reed left the company, he was taken down, right? Ian Reed was taken down because of a sexual relationship with someone inside of Pfizer. I'm not saying Karen had the conniption fit. I'm not saying she went into the psychotic break when I mentioned this to her. But man, it must have happened 2 or 3 seconds later. Something must have happened between the time I told her and 2 or 3 seconds later, something must have happened because then she went into this psychotic break. Because imagine if you were being unwittingly used to collect information inside of Pfizer and then a intelligence organization like Peter Strzok. Remember, Peter Strzok came down from Boston after this first Genzyme operation and came down to New York and worked with Carter Page and Pod Omni in the illegals program. He ran the illegals program in New York. Now imagine if somebody said, hey, I know what you're doing at Pfizer. I know you're trying to infiltrate Pfizer and all the TA heads. And I know how they're putting the fly in the ointment in the batches to trigger a series of either side effect lawsuits or contamination lawsuits. I know what you're doing. I know you're trying to contaminate the ointments. Sort of this is the same plot line of the movie with Michael Douglas and the gal who was G.I. Jane, the gal who married Ashton Kutcher. Demi Moore. I can't remember the name of the movie, but they go in and they create a manufacturing problem, and it makes the guy look really bad, and now Demi Moore is going to run the company. Temptation or some kind of movie like that, the one word name. But that's the idea here. You go in, you do a series of contaminations or a series of side effects that you know. In the international news desk, we're getting the disclosure, I think it's called. But anyway, that you get the idea. It's very simple. It's the disclosure idea. It's the Demi Moore idea. And you only have to do a couple of key areas. And then you embed these into a initiative that we have to do something really, really fast. We have to get this vaccine out really quickly. You bring in a couple of outside consultants to tell everybody at Pfizer they have to cut over to an area that they're not familiar with, right? You bring in Xuan Wu to write the Lightspeed 1 white paper. You bring in Xuan Wu to write Lightspeed 2, right? Which says we need to not only cut over all mRNA for all vaccines, we need to cut over, that's the old Wyeth business and the old Uptown business. We need to cut over. I'm sorry, it's Indecent Proposal. The International News Desk has now got the information. It's Indecent Proposal, is the name of it, which this is kind of a incredibly indecent proposal, is it not, to Pfizer from Gavin Davies. But my point here is that you basically can run a 10-year trial of this, of these spikes, with a 10-year trial of remdesivir, a 10-year set of mutations. So to see 20,000 human spikes that are created, 20,000 new human spikes that are created with Callahan and the ventilators drastically increase the rate of mutation. And then you can conduct with the enzymes, the new company in Alachua, Florida, called Resilience, is basically Genzyme with a new name. It's basically an enzyme company. It's an artificial enzyme company, but it's Genzyme with a new name, right? Now I can see over a period of time how the thing is going to mutate. And now I can introduce a series of mutations like it's natural. This latest one, this new BA6, this new Parolo, is a 30 amino acid jump. This is probably Michael Callahan's second or third year in China. We're that far along. I mean, we just took an evolutionary jump like you can't imagine it. A 30 amino acid jump never happens. It usually happens one amino acid over here, and then, 10,000 years go by, and then another amino acid over here. This happened, lickety split, right? 30 amino acid jump. You can't even believe it, right? So we know what's going to happen. We've modeled this thing with Callahan for 10 years. We know how the evolution is going to happen. We have to explain to scientists all over the world, how did Pfizer do this? How did Pfizer speed up billions of years of evolution so quickly, right? This thing has just jumped, this new Pervo or Parolo jumped 30 amino acids in less than 3 months, and it hasn't been circulating. How could that be? Right? There hasn't been any ventilators, there hasn't been any remdesivir, there hasn't been any Michael Callahan. We need to put out some kind of explanation. I got it. We'll hire another consultant. We'll hire Jordan Walker. And we'll say Pfizer's doing directed evolution. We'll have James O'Keefe get a LED truck. We'll put the LED truck in front of the 42nd Street entrance. We'll have a hashtag campaign, directed evolution. We'll have 1,000 times force multiplier, echo chamber voice, echo voice, and other DoD technology to take that video of them fighting over the iPad and have over 100 million people watch it. Right? And we'll Jim, thank you very much for the Substack mention. I appreciate it. When another Substack author recommends you, it'll my Substack will tell me So thank you very much for the recommendation. It's a big author. I appreciate it. But you get the idea here, is that I know what the evolution's going to be because I just spent 10 years with Michael Callahan and ventilators in China doing it. And I can introduce now Michael Callahan year one, Michael Callahan year two, Michael Callahan year three, and I've got 10 years to go. I've got 20,000 spikes to go through. And the beauty is I know all of the side effects already. I'm going to be able to predict all the side effects. I'm going to be able to line up. I'm going to have these remdesivir widow meetings. I'm going to be able to gather up all the people with all the various side effects, right? I'm going to be able to organize all the lawsuits. And we're going to be able to take Pfizer down. And we're going to own it. We're even going to be able to organize a huge grassroots effort to get money from Congress to somehow retroactively go back against the vaccine immunity. And then we're going to own this damn thing. Moderna could end up with the Moderna-Pfizer lawsuit after what? We planted the Spikevax sequence into the Pfizer development area. We planted Spikevax into the Pfizer development area, and they used it unwittingly. They had actually got it in Africa, so they said they got it in a public domain setting 10 years earlier. But that's what the lawsuit is about, and we're going to end up owning Pfizer out of this. This is why I think the conniption fit happened, because it changed the frame of reference from Karen Kingston fighting for you and fighting for all the people who have been vaccine injured to Karen Kingston fighting for my father-in-law. And what happened in that moment, it wasn't me that caused the mass, caused her psychotic break. It was in the 6 or 7 seconds after I said, hey, Ian Reed was taken out with a bunch of lures in New York. It was her realization of her being used inside the therapeutic areas at Pfizer to take Pfizer down. And I think today, Karen Kingston realizes her father-in-law wants Pfizer. And that's a lot for one scuba trip. That's a lot for one scuba trip. And I'm not sure if the Armed Diplomatic Security Services were trying to whisk her out of the country so that she'd be cut off from this information, from cut off from any more information which would feather out this undermining of Pfizer. But that's what's happening. That's what's happening. And someone has guided her career through the Pfizer organization to make sure, and I'm going to say the first person I'm going to look at is Gordon Davies, her husband. She's no longer married to him anymore, I don't believe. But now she looks back on her career and says, hey, I was manipulated. All those boat parties out on Long Island, I was being manipulated. All those friends that were coming in and marrying up and becoming all the secretaries of all the heads of the therapeutic areas. Again, Karen knows I know what I'm talking about here. That all happened. And then you realize, wait a minute, my father-in-law is undermining Pfizer. He is taking down Pfizer. And he's in the same crew. And this is why I went to Porton Down and talked about the BBC fake snow and talked about the CNN fake snow. He's very closely associated with the British military. You remember the actual, I can't remember the ship-to-shore missiles, shore-to-ship missiles that were sold on that same green where the BBC fake snow was. That Salisbury Plain there was the same place where the Ukrainians had looked at the shore-to-ship missiles. that were sold to Ukraine. There's a reason why Pip and Great Expectations was filmed there. There's a reason why, right there by Porton Down, why the BBC fake snow was there. Because it was Gore, it was Gavin Davies telling his story. Right? It was Gavin Davies telling his story of how he was very close to bioweapons in the British military establishment, and that led him all the way to number 10 Downing Street. But he did it by way of Salisbury Plain. And he did it by way of the BBC fake snow on Salisbury Plain. And he does see himself as a Pip who went to London to learn the dark arts. And if you look at the remake that was made when I was there, and you look at the movie, you'll say that movie was done in Gavin Davies' image. The one the BBC made last year. Now, everyone says, oh, well, there's a cadre of knights. There's a cadre of lords of the House of Lords, Matt Ridley being one of them. Matt Ridley writing some of the greatest genetic books before even the Human Genome Project was finished. Matt Ridley is one of the House of Lords. But you're going to say, well, there's a whole cadre of the House of Lords that have been long associated with the British military establishment, George, and it's all the Yorkies, it's all the people in the Midlands, you know, it's all the people in the North, the industrial North, GSK driveline. You've done all these stories about it. It's all the Paul Welland type diplomats up to the North, the House, and, you know, Ken Clarks and so forth. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying Gavin Davies is the only guy in the House of Lords that's been closely established with the British military establishment. What I'm saying is he is the standout in two areas. One, the Porton Down biodefense area, the super soldier program, and all that Genzyme super soldiers. The other one, where his communications is war propaganda, where he's a standout. He writes fantastic stuff. Incubator baby girl convinced us that we needed to go and fight a 20-year war. Two 20-year wars. And that was, he rented out basically a room. It was a caucus room, which are empty most of the time on Capitol Hill, with one kid. Tell me what they needed beyond one kid, 14-year-old. I mean, talk about low union wage here. One kid. And one caucus room that normally they just receive, you know, big rig high rollers, and it's a huge room, and they have 10 people in it. And two 20-year wars out of that? That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible power in terms of using the manipulative powers and the powers of propaganda. And now, for whatever reason, the British military establishment and the American military establishment feels that they need to have a powerhouse name that everyone recognizes and trusts for their future in mRNA. If anyone doubts this, just read Michael Dolston's paper that was approved by Borla, Lightspeed 1 and Lightspeed 2. It lays it all out. It's like Mein Kampf. It's the Mein Kampf of mRNA. This is the stated direction. Now, how would I be able to go in to Pfizer and take people who've spent 30, 40, 50 years dedicated to their therapeutic area and destroy all of them and get them to move over to my technology where I'm the king, if not for a mass formation psychosis like incubated baby girl? Wasn't coronavirus, in a way, with the mass formation psychosis, sort of an incubator baby girl? Wasn't the mass formation psychosis phone call of Nancy Messonnier sort of an incubator baby con call? Wasn't Paul Petrelle giving us the day before conference call with just the press say it was going to be an incubator baby phone call? Wasn't that a service to us rather than somehow a part of, he's a part of the dark hand? Wasn't Bob Malone and wasn't Boston Consulting Group bringing all those people, mostly people involved in group of 300 quote-unquote experts who NATO had funded, the Erasmus Lab being the number one on the chart, the number one hospital to approve the protocols to approve the remdesivir and the ventilators. If you read Josh Kellar's book called Patient Priority, right, they say it's an incubator baby, right? If you think about it, the incubator, the ventilators are just bigger incubators. They're just a little bit bigger than the ventilators, are just a little bit bigger than incubators. They might actually be about the same size. And Josh Kellar says that they brought the 300 experts, most of them funded through Erasmus, by the way. And Erasmus Lab was the number one lab in Boston Consulting Group. Schweiker, the CEO, had been with Klaus Schwab, and Klaus Schwab said that they were going to move to these new hospitals. It's called ICHOM, which is International Consortium of Hospitals on Hospital Outcome Measurement. It started in 2012 in London and Cambridge. This was Klaus Schwab's way through the Boston Consulting Group of taking over medicine. This is the Great Reset. The Great Reset starts with destroying everything. The way any reset, World War I or World War II, works, it starts with destroying everything. And then you reconstitute things in the image that you want. If that was the strategy for World War I, destroy everything and then reconstitute things through the creation of the Fed, right, and putting out a bunch of debt to underwrite the British debt. If the Second World War was destroy everything and then have the Bank of International Settlements do the Marshall Plan and then reconstitute things in our own image, why do you think all of a sudden Gavin Davies and the House of Lords of the military industrial establishment in Britain, along with our intelligence folks, wouldn't do the same thing to Pfizer? Wouldn't do the same thing to the people of the world. In Patient Priority, Josh Kellar lays this out. He says we created ICHOM. He says we had the 300 doctors. He says we brought them all, right, to standardize on the protocols. He devotes a whole chapter to the Erasmus Lab as the leading model, as the leading WEF model of this new outcomes-based health management. Outcomes-based, ICHOM is a code word for Klaus Schwab doing AI in the hospital. Destroy everything. Create panic. Use your insider knowledge of what has happened over the last 10 years with Michael Callahan and ventilators. Use your inside knowledge of what's going to happen with side effects. Use your inside knowledge of what's going to happen with cancering. Use your inside knowledge of what's going to happen with antibody-dependent enhancement to be the expert, because you've destroyed everything else. You've destroyed the status quo. So much so that somebody who got a Zoom MD from Harvard now is the expert. It's the whole Aerosmith story. On an island where everyone's blind, the one-eyed man is king. And Bob Malone writes the famotidine paper, the Valentine's famotidine paper, as the expert. Because the world has been destroyed. The medical world, where we had science and sense, has been destroyed. It's now a new and novel boogeyman from China. And now all bets are off. We're going to do the emergency authorizations. And oh, by the way, My name is Josh Kilar, and I manage this group of 300 doctors, and we've all had this colloquy here over the last 3 months, and we can write a letter to the FDA, we can write a letter to the American Hospital Association, and based on our colloquy of 300 experts, because remember, we manage the experts that were in China that were doing this 10 years, we can get remdesivir approved by the FDA on May 1st. And by God, 7 days later, Josh Kellar and Jordan Walker are writing the paper for the hospital group that Klaus Schwab manages, the ICHOM group, 1,000 hospitals. They're writing it that remdesivir will be the standard of care. Of course they are. It's their group. It's their hospitals. And then all the plan was all the other hospitals would fall in place. And they did. Without a fight. The only blip is that they somehow had to come back in later and absolve themselves of guilt and create doubt and distance from themselves of having done it. Even though patient priority, Josh Kilar writes it all out. For anybody to read, chapter 4 is all about Erasmus Lab, WAF Erasmus Lab. So they introduced Jordan Walker, right? They don't talk about Genzyme turning into resilience with directed evolution in Alachua, Florida. They make it so that it's just some amorphous cloud named Pfizer. Pfizer bad. Directed evolution. Monkey mutation. Directed evolution, monkey mutation. Those are things, you know, monkeys always get a lot of hits. Monkeys on freeways get a lot of hits. Well, the monkeys are actually Uyghur prisoners. The monkeys in this case are actually Uyghur prisoners, and it came from 10 years of testing with Uyghur prisoners to get these 20,000 spikes. But they don't want you to know that. So they're going to say it happened in some monkey lab. Well, there might have been one monkey lab. That was the one I pointed to in Rotterdam when I was in Rotterdam last year, pointing at the Erasmus lab. Because they do use monkeys for one thing, and that is figuring out what the lethal dose is. So I'm going to bring in this contractor. We're going to say he did it. We can fire him. We can disappear him. It's a CIA operative that we'll bring in and out as needed. That's why I say it's always going to be Jordan Walker. Michael Callahan used to be the guy who put the fly in the ointment to do these takedowns. And now it's going to that transferred after Jordan Walker. He's the new guy with the fly in the ointment. If somebody is putting HeLa cells to cause the cancers, I'm looking and asking about Jordan Walker. If somebody's putting the SV40 promoters in there so that we can do inserts later on, I'm looking at Jordan Walker, right? Jordan Walker didn't have to do anything with the side effects of the spike attaching to the heart and causing myocarditis. We knew that was a side effect. All we have to do at the right point when the scientific community starts catching up and starts figuring out this myocarditis, we'll introduce a hero of our own. Bob Malone. We'll introduce a hero of our own. As soon as the scientific community figures out the downstream cancer, we'll introduce a hero of our own. It's going to be Steve Kirsch. Steve Kirsch is a placeholder right now for turbo cancer until they come up with a different person. But they're going to introduce a hero of their own. And the third shoe to drop from the Dark Horse podcast is going to be Brett Weinstein, who's going to be leading the charge on Capitol Hill at some point against Pfizer. And we're all going to have pitchforks and torches saying, get Pfizer, get Pfizer, get Pfizer. The money is going to be given. The Congress is going to actually underwrite. They've already approved this. The Moderna lawsuit, the enablement, remember, Moderna enabled Pfizer through Spikevax, the Spikevax sequence. And now the Congress is going to not pay damages to the people who've been damaged by the vaccine. They're going to pay the infringement because Spikevax enabled Pfizer to do the vaccine. They're going to pay the infringement lawsuit of Moderna. And now the DARPA guys own Pfizer. Isn't that what they wanted to begin with? Wasn't our original strategy to put a virus inside of the organism from Pfizer and then take it over? Isn't that exactly what's happened right in front of our eyes? When I explained that to Karen, not in this much detail, but in sort of a shorthand, but if you live through it, it's easier to connect the dots. She lived through it. That's when the psychotic break happened. She's still going through the psychotic realization of what's happening. Right? It's her life that we're actually talking about here. So, Karen, I hope you're listening in Mexico, wherever you're recovering. You look a lot better. I don't know where all you went, but I know it's a hell of a tour de force for one scuba trip. But it's going to be the truth. It's going to be what actually happened at Pfizer. It's going to be the DARPA plan to take down Pfizer. And Pfizer will become. Moderna was a one-trick pony. They needed a full line, a full service, full line pharmaceutical. And once they have one of those that could do mRNA, they can force everyone else out of business through rapid directed evolution. They can rapidly, directly evolve any pathogen to obsolete any existing drug. And that's the plan. We get one flagship, and then the rest have to follow. And that's a lot for one scuba trip. That's a lot for one scuba trip. I do fear what Armed Diplomatic Security Service is going to bring back to the United States. And when I see them going back to the puddles of Los Angeles with mosquito vials in their pockets, I get concerned. But we'll have to watch the mosquito outbreak. But I really think this was to get Karen out of communication. So she could not connect the dots on how she was being used inside of Pfizer. But I think she now realizes what her father-in-law is up to. She could have been complicit, but something tells me that psychotic break, she didn't have the full picture. She didn't have the full picture. Thanks very much this morning. We'll keep bringing you information here from the International News Desk as news develops. Thank you all for joining me. And remember, Klaus, you may have all heard the news that